President, ABC's Aaron Katursky explains.
An appellate court here in New York agreed to put on hold a defamation lawsuit against President Trump filed by Summer Zervos, a former contestant on The Apprentice. The ruling allowed the president to appeal to this state's highest court, which will now consider whether to take the case. The president has argued he is immune from any state judicial proceeding while in office, an argument twice rejected in lower courts. Her lawsuit claims President Trump defamed Zervos when he called her a liar after she came forward with sexual assault allegations during the 2016 campaign. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, New York.
Some pot shops in Illinois are being forced to shut down after selling out of marijuana edibles in the first week of legal sales. And while they work to restock, ABC's Ryan Burrow says experts are offering up some warnings to buyers that are new to pot.
Dr. Kevin Most of Northwestern Medicine says one of the biggest mistakes people make when consuming edibles, baked goods and candy laced with marijuana, is they eat too much when they don't feel the effects immediately.
When you eat something, it goes into your system, goes into your stomach. Your body then has to digest it before the THC is absorbed. It's not an immediate. As a matter of fact, it's quite a big of a lag time.
Another big issue, kids getting their hands on edibles. Colorado saw a 70% increase in calls of accidental cannabis exposure among children when recreational pot became legal in the state. Ryan Burrow, ABC News, Chicago.
This is ABC News.
There's an app to save on flights, an app to rent a bike, and an app to help you save for driving safely. The Allstate app gives you real-time driving feedback with DriveWise, giving you the power to lower your insurance cost. In fact, safe drivers can save 40% or more. Connect and save with DriveWise. You're in good hands.
Download the Allstate app today. Savings may vary by state and driving behaviors. Subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Use of Allstate Mobile with activation of DriveWise required. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Dave Packer, ABC News.
Let's take a trip down memory lane with Niagara County's Great History Show. Now, here's your host, Norm Palmer.
Thank you very much. Welcome to the show this morning. In the studio with me, the Executive Director of Niagara County History Center, Melissa Dunlap, and her assistant, Anne-Marie Lindenberry. Good morning, ladies.
Morning. Happy New Year.
And Happy New Year to you, too. I would imagine New Year, new things happening at the History Center.
Well, they are. Go ahead, Anne-Marie.
Well, okay. On Monday, January 20th, which is Martin Luther King Day, we are going to have a program for children in the morning from 10 to 1. And this year we are going to be, we're going to have them learning about African-American women who gained prominence in different fields like business, science, the arts, sports. We're going to be talking about probably a lot of women that they've never heard of before, women that were featured in the movie Hidden Figures and other women that achieved, as I said, success in some of the other fields. We're also going to be doing some activities involving some of the things that these women did. So, as I said, the program is from 10 to 1. It's for children ages 7 through 12. We do ask for a reservation. You can call 434-7433. And there is a $10 charge per child, but that includes all of the activities and materials and also a snack at noontime.
Okay, so on January 23rd, I am going to do a program on movie and TV trivia at 2 o'clock at the 215 Niagara Street site. 434-7433, and it's just going to be a fun thing where people can participate, and we're going to put photos in order and shows in order and talk about shows that we remember. So it's a participation program, and that's on January 23rd at 2 o'clock. And then on February 8th, we are going to have our Soup and Story program. And that, we can only accommodate 50 people for that, so that requires reservations. And we are having Susan Eck come, and she is speaking about women's suffrage because, of course, we're getting to the point of the 100th anniversary, right?
Yes.
Yep. Of suffrage, women's right to vote. So, and we have a variety of soups, and we usually have some pretty good desserts, and it's a really fun afternoon, and that's on Saturday, February 8th at noon. So if you are interested in that, there is reservations, and then that's by donation. So you can call the museum at 434-7433 to make reservations for the programs or to ask any questions that you have.
Now, I know you ladies come loaded for bear most of the time. Lately, you've had some great topics. So what is our topic for today?
Today, we are going to talk about music and musical groups in this area. So we have lists of piano teachers and music teachers and musical instrument dealers, and Amory has all different things about different band leaders and bands, and so we're going to try and remember those, and hopefully people that were in a band, liked a band, are relatives of people that were in a band, or took lessons from some of these piano teachers we're going to mention, will call in.
Well, I think one of the most famous ones that I remember is Jimmy Sack on the Hilltoppers.
Yes, and we do have stuff on Jimmy Sack on the Hilltoppers. And of course, they were on Look magazine, and they had their own albums, and I mean, they were really well known.
Big time. Very good.
Yes. So that's one of the ones that we'll talk about. I was going to start, because I just get a kick out of it, that in 1953 there were a bunch of music teachers. One was Thomas Barone. He was an instrumental, and Evelyn Bayless. Elmer Brandt was teaching piano. Lou Crane was teaching piano. Catherine Deanna was teaching vocal. Beatrice Frazier was teaching piano. But my favorite is Hattie Harmony. And she had a studio on West Avenue, and she was teaching piano. And I thought that was just perfect. There was Helen Lamb and Sarah McEachin. They were both teaching piano. Jesse Slayer and Harlan Smith and Carrie Tozier. So, boy, oh boy, you could get piano lessons all over the city in 1953. So I just thought that was, I just love the Hattie Harmony. But the shops that were open at that time were Barone's, except it was JAS, so probably Jason, Beaulieu Parkway, and Kolesnik. K-O-L-E-S-N-I-K. Is that Kolesnik?
Yes, Kolesnik.
And Steffens Music Store. So there were three music stores at that time.
Well, we have a newspaper article about a teacher that was at the Lockport Schools. He retired in 1951, so this would be probably before a lot of people would have remembered him, but you might have heard his name, Charles Barone. And he had been with the Lockport Public Schools for many, many years. He was actually born in Italy. His actual name was Rosario, and he changed his name to Charles. So, but he was a wind instrument instructor in Lockport, and according to the article, he was very much loved by his students. So if anybody has any memories of Charles Barone, you could call in and tell us a little bit more about him.
And that number, Anne-Marie, is 433-1433 if you'd like to call the station, and we will get you on the air right away. Now, I guess my question will be, if you know the answer, is that where Barone's music store came from?
Yes.
From the music teacher, Mr. Barone?
Yes, absolutely. In 1955, in addition to the people I've already mentioned, there was an Ada McDonough who was teaching piano. There was the School of Magic Music. I wonder what they were doing. But that was on 194 Locust Street. Maybe somebody remembers and they'll call in. And Harlan Smith was teaching organ. Grace Tenbruck was teaching piano. And there was Leo's Accordion Center at 30 Niagara Street. There you go. Everything you need to know about accordions.
So. And then there was another man who was known locally. His name was Harmonica Joe. And his name originally, I probably won't be able to say his original name was Hiram Brockway. But he was more popularly known as Harmonica Joe. And he said that it was the city police that got together and bought his first harmonica for him. And he picked up the name Harmonica Joe actually when he was in Florida. He spent some time in Florida. But I think Melissa said that
people talk about him all the time. I think he went, you know, was in Main Street and...
I can remember when I was a kid, Melissa, that we had a Harmonica Joe, and if he was playing on Main Street, the crowd just, it just blew up because he was so good. He was that good and entertained people. Now, what year, do you have a year on that, Melissa?
Well, he, let's see, this would have been in the 1980s. Unfortunately, the...
Oh, okay.
No, that's a different... The article is not dated, but...
Yeah, it's his obituary. He was 86 when he died.
When he died.
Okay, I would say that was probably the Harmonica Joe that I grew up knowing on Main Street. Yes, call in, 433-1433, if you remember Harmonica Joe, because he was so good, it was unbelievable.
Well, people have asked me about him a lot, and, you know, I really didn't know much about him, but I'm sure people remember him.
I couldn't tell you his real name because all we knew was Harmonica Joe.
Well, Anne-Marie just told you, but
Hiram Brockway.
There you go.
See, Harmonica Joe was much easier to remember.
Yeah.
And I can recall he used to wear bib overalls sometimes, and he'd carry his two or three harmonicas up on the top of the bibs there, and he'd pull one out, and away he'd go, and the crowd would just stop. If you were shopping on Main Street, and those are the days when you could shop on Main Street.
Yeah, well, that's neat.
Okay, so we have a phone call coming in. Let's see if they're going to tell us about Harmonica Joe. Good morning. You're on Niagara County's Great History Show. Go ahead. You are on.
Yes, I am talking about Harmonica Joe. First off, there was a guy from Rockport that moved to Florida down in Gainesville where the two big colleges are. He opened a restaurant slash bar called Harmonica Joe's. He had a photograph of Harmonica Joe at one of the parades in Lockport dancing, and they painted that mural on the wall in the restaurant of him.
Oh, indeed.
In the restaurant, it became very successful. Later, the gentleman from Lockport, his last name was the Flippo, Ron was his first name, sold it to somebody else, and they took it over. But I haven't heard anything of late. It's still there. But it was a very popular spot. I lived on Walnut Street, and he would walk up down Walnut Street all the time because he lived at the infirmary on Davison. And when us kids would see him, we'd yell, "Hi, Joe," he waved to us, and we'd yell things like, "Hey, Joe, shake an arm." He would shake it. Tell him, "Hey, Joe, shake a leg." He would shake it. And he always was walking, and sometimes he was playing harmonica.
Well, that's neat.
A real nice gentleman.
Yeah. Well, thank you, because the obit didn't give us a lot of detail about him, so thank you.
Thank you very much.
We lived right on Davidson Road in the infirmary, and he walked up and down the street all the time. He was the nicest guy, and like I said, the kids all knew him and all waved and talked to him. And that gentleman opened the place up down there in Gainesville with his name, Harmonica Joe.
There you go. Well, that's really good to know, because, you know, people do talk about him, so thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. 433-1433, if you'd like to join us, and especially talk about Harmonica Joe. If you're in my era and you were walking the East End at all, now I understand why, you know, in the East End I saw more than people out west did in the western end of town, because if he lived at the infirmary, we could understand that, because I, you know, not that far. I lived on Union Street, so 433-1433, join us.
Okay, so by 1958 at Barone's Music House, they had records and phonographs. So by then, you know, it was not only just instruments and sheet music, you could actually buy records, and that was a big thing. You remember when we were kids and you had singles, and they had that little plastic thing you put in the center, you know, and Danny Neverth was telling you he could look at you through the hole in the record. And, you know, I mean, that was a fun thing, and singles were like a dollar. You could save up a dollar, and you could go, and you could get a single. That was a big deal.
On Facebook, every once in a while, they have questions, and they have pictures. They put a picture up this last week, believe it or not. Somebody had the center that you put in a 45 because it was a big hole where your LP was just a little hole where the spindle come out of your turntable and you just set the record down. Well, when they come up with 45s, they had about a 2-inch hole in it, so you'd put this little plug in it, and it was always plastic and had little wheels in it.
They were yellow, I think.
Yeah, they were yellow, yeah.
And everybody, you know, they said, do you know what this is? And if you do, let us know. So, yeah, just last week.
But, you know, it's one of those things that kids would have no idea now. But, you know, and I think that's how singles got on the Billboard Music Billboard too, because I think they tracked the sales, didn't they, of the singles?
And now, if you have 45s that are originals, mm-hmm. and you saved them and you didn't scratch them up, they are worth a ton of money now for certain songs.
I still
songs.
Have all my 45s. I did get rid of my albums because they were just too heavy, but I do have all my 45s.
Yeah, see, I don't have any of them left. I should have kept them, but that's what makes them valuable, is because other people didn't keep them too.
Yeah. Right. Well, we have pictures in this book with no information, except it's a group, and I'm assuming they must have been from Lockport. They were called the Tic Tac Tones. So it looks like a quartet of four women. So if anybody knows anything about the Tic Tac Tones, we'd like to be able to put some information with the picture.
Yeah, there was also the Tic Tac Four, and John Hall was in that group. It was a barbershop quartet, and he wrote an article about it. So we do have information about that, but so maybe...
Tic Tac Tones. Yeah. Four ladies.
Four ladies
that enjoyed the music, give us a call, 433-1433. If you were around and heard about them or heard about them from your parents, give us a call, 433-1433.
Or your mother was in it.
Yeah, right.
You never know. You just never know. Okay. There's a lot about Barones. Now they're selling pianos and organs. They're selling Solar, Kimball, Gilbranson, and Esty pianos, and they're selling Kahn, Lowry, and Thomas organs. Records, hi-fi phonographs, televisions, radios, tape recorders, sheet music, and musical repairs.
So now, this was 1958, you said you moved
up to
58.
Well, now I'm up to 59, so okay, they're expanding. They're expanding their business.
Anybody work at Barones, give us a call. Tell us what it was like.
There's a new music store called Meals Music Shop at South Transit, M-A-E-L.
Males.
Males.
Mm-hmm.
Music Shop, so that's a new one. Pretty much the same music teachers, except now you have Catherine Dana, who is teaching piano and voice. So she's kind of new.
Piano must have been big in this area.
Oh, my gosh. Well, my mother, I know I had to take 6 years of piano because my was the last chance for my mother to get a concert pianist, and I hated it. So finally, the teacher quit. It was great.
Melissa's highlight of her music career, the teacher quit.
I will say, though, I did learn how to read music, and that has been helpful throughout my life. And I did learn about music theory and changing keys. And so she was helpful. I guess it probably was the practicing I didn't like. So,
there's another photograph. It shows a five-member band of gentlemen. Again, this one doesn't have the name of the group, but the members were Eddie Crow, Steve Sacca, Art Porter, Paul Burt, and Tom Henley. And Paul Burt is actually the brother of one of our volunteers.
Yeah.
So, but it said that they played at dances at the YMCA, the YWCA, the Eagles, the Elks Club, Rico's in Olcott, and at Grace Church. So,
so they got around.
They got around, and they played the music of Glenn Miller and Tommy Dorsey. And so if anybody remembers the name of the group, because the article doesn't mention the name, only the band members.
And the first member was... Eddie Crow?
Eddie Crow.
Yes. Eddie was a famous sports guy also in Lockport.
Okay.
And a musician at the same time, so I can understand why he was part of the group. Yes.
Ah. And Steve Sacca.
Right.
Yeah.
And Art Porter, Paul Burt, and Tom Henley, I think is that how you pronounce it.
Okay.
Yeah.
433-1433, if you can help us out.
By 1961, you have another accordion. It's Leo's Accordion Center, and that was at 43 Niagara Street. So apparently a lot of people must have taken accordion if they had all these accordion stores, too. You know, that's
a lot of
that.
Polka bands in Buffalo had accordions.
Yeah.
And, in fact, one was a national known accordion player for the band in Buffalo.
Hmm. Okay. By 1962, we have Francis Tate teaching piano and organ. Evelyn Bayless, Lou Crane, Edna Kurth, Grace Tenbrock, and Leo Volk. are all music teachers in town. And then the instrument dealers was Barone's. That's just down to Barone's now for selling instruments.
And there's another teacher from the Lockport schools. Maybe some of you might have remembered her. Her name is Mrs. Callahan.
Oh, yes.
And yes. She also was at the Lockport schools for, I'm trying to see how many years it says here. And what the school, let's see, she, I'm just trying to see if what schools she might have worked at. Just says she had worked in the elementary school, so maybe she went.
I was just going to say school. She was an elementary music teacher, yes.
Yes. So if anybody has any memories of her.
Yeah.
Oh, 40 years she was a teacher. There we go.
Well, somebody should remember if she taught for 40 years.
40 years.
I remember that the impression she left with me, she was like everybody's aunt. You know, real nice lady that taught music, and she looked like Nick, like, you know, like your favorite aunt.
Aunt B on
there. There you go. Favorite aunt.
True.
we are talking about music in Lockport. Yes. Back started out in 1953, I think you said, Melissa, when you started, and we're working up, and we are up to 1962, and they are feverishly going through their logbooks.
I looked, and there hasn't been much. I'm up to 65, and it's the same teachers and the same things. All right, so here's an advertisement for a comic opera called The Sweethearts, and the place is on Willow Street near Locust Street. So it was a children's entertainment and a junior Chautauqua program. That's interesting, isn't it? And they have season tickets. Season tickets bought before opening day were $2.25 for the whole season. And if you bought them after the opening day, it was $3 for the whole season. So that was pretty interesting. So there's all different shows they were doing, and they were June 27th, 29th, the 30th, July 1st, July 2nd, and July 3rd. Now, I tried to research this before about the Chautauqua movement, and I know that they did come to Lockport because both John Hall and Stuart Brown had told me they remembered them coming with their tents when they were kids. And I, you know, think it was kind of evangelist that they were trying to get people, but people would come and spend the evening and listen to what people had to say. And so now they must have followed that up with a children's program. So that's neat.
And here's an article you were mentioning about Eddie Crow. Here's actually his obituary. He died in 2000 at the age of 71. But following the band that he had been in previously, he was in the Hilltoppers, as you had mentioned. And that he began that in 1955, and the other members were Jimmy Sacca, Don McGuire, Seymour Spiegelman, and Billy Vaughn, and then again this Eddie Crow, and Hank Nevins. You remember Hank Nevins? He was a radio personality.
I'm sure senior. Yeah.
Yes.
And, he is right now. He's the newsman on WLVL.
Yep.
And he had to say this about the group. He said, they brought an awful lot of attention to Lockport. It's hard for people who don't remember it. And I was just a kid myself, but I remember it because my sisters played all their records.
They were nationally known, yes.
Oh, yeah, they were nationally
known. Big time.
So, in 1965, the Pernas opened the Perna Piano Mart on Main Street. Do you remember that?
No, the only Pernas I knew ran the grocery
Tops.
Store. Yeah,
yeah,
ran Tops. No,
if
that was the same family, I do not know that.
I don't know. That's Pernas Piano Mart, 42 Main Street. Denton Couture and Daniel was now here. They were at the corner of Main. And Leo's Accordion Center was still on Niagara Street. And, of course, Barone's and Stefan's Music Store were still there. So that was all the way in 1965. Okay, so Pernas Piano Mart had organs by Lowry Gulberson, finest selection of organs, pianos, and all musical instruments. Wow, they're trying to give Barone's a run for their money. At low prices, easy terms, lessons given on all instruments. So there you go. We got some competition.
Now, I'm jumping ahead to the 80s, Melissa. I'm sorry.
Go right ahead.
But there was another group here in Lockport. It was called the Jackie Deal Orchestra, and they played at Camerata's restaurant sometimes. And the members of that band were Art McEnroe, Jackie Deal, Reggie Bonnevie, Fred Mist, Billy Deal, and Ray Jones. So I don't know if anybody remembers that group.
Absolutely. Jackie Deal, son, is an official now for basketball, baseball. And Jackie was a big manager for different leagues in Lockport, and the Lox Plaza was a big hotel down on Lower Main Street. And they sponsored a lot of the sports teams. And I don't know if Jackie ever played there or not, but yeah, Jackie Deal Senior was an excellent, excellent musician. He's one of those kind of guys that if you mention something, he'd pull out the horn and start playing.
Yeah, it looks like in this picture he's playing the saxophone.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's always interesting, people that can play by ear. I always thought that was fascinating, that they just had that ability.
My dad was a drummer, and taught me how to play by ear. I couldn't read music. I still can't read music to this day. I try. You know, I've got a keyboard at home trying to teach myself how to play and all this for the last 30, 40 years, but it doesn't work, you know. But if you have a good ear, then especially drums, you can pick it up really quick.
Yeah. Okay. By 1968, Laverne Griffith was advertising piano tuners and repairers. And he was on Market Street, and I do remember him because when we first started at the when I first started at the museum 30 years ago, he was still tuning pianos, and I think that he's Donna Aiken's dad, and I think he was well known around. And there were also different tuners for organs. You know, that was a whole nother music industry was tuners.
Well, we are going to tune up our memory right now, Melissa, because we are going to take our first break. You are listening to Niagara County's Great History Show, 1340 AM, 105.3 FM.
The radio home of Niagara University Purple Eagles hockey is right here on WLVL. Next, the NU Purple Eagles host a pair of games against Holy Cross. Face off Friday night at 7 and Saturday at 4. And don't forget, NU hockey remains your best family sporting value. Single game tickets start at just $12. Get tickets online at purpleeagles.com or call 716-286-TICKS. 716-286-TICKS. Be a part of the action. Get ready to soar with Niagara University hockey.
Accepting high-quality applicants for its MBA and Business Analytics Master's degree programs offered 100% online. Learn more about the top-ranked W.P. Carey business degrees online. Text RANK to...
I want to tell you about Gale's Tobacco and Gas Outlet in Sanborn on the Tuscarora Territory. It's not far away from most anywhere in Niagara County. Now, the gasoline at Gale's is the same gas that you get at the big chain stations in the area. It even comes from the same tanker trucks. But at Gale's, they don't collect New York State sales tax. So, you save money. Now, inside Gale's is a clean, modern convenience store with drinks, snacks, and cigars, including Game and Swisher Sweets, and a walk-in humidor with a good selection of quality cigars. And of course, Gale's carries all native brand tobacco products, where the no-tax savings are substantial over the prices that you'd pay at the local grocery or drugstore. How much less? Like 80% less. Gale's Tobacco and Gas Outlet, two locations on the Tuscarora Territory, 2273 Saunders Settlement Road and at 2280 Upper Mountain Road in Sanborn. Gale's, it's not far away.
Share the excitement of timeless Disney stories. From Moana's High Seas Adventure to Woody's Lively Roundup to Elsa's mission to thaw a frozen heart. Make memories you'll treasure forever at Disney on Ice presents Celebrate Memories.
Tickets start at $15. Restrictions and additional charges may apply. Playing Key Bank Center January 23rd through 26th. For ticket information and show details, visit DisneyOnIce.com. Tickets on sale now. Get your tickets today.
When it comes to physical rehab, you want to get back into your life as soon as possible, and Elderwood at Lockport can help. They make it easy for you to pre-schedule your short-term rehab stay. They'll take care of everything, including verifying your insurance information. They'll work one-on-one with your physician to get you home sooner, but more importantly, get you back to your quality of life. Let Elderwood of Lockport help you recover from your recent hospital stay with individual treatment. To schedule a tour or to learn more, call 434-6324 or visit elderwood.com.
Welcome back to Niagara County's Great History Show. We are talking about music today in Lockport, New York, and brought back some memories of some older groups that used to be very entertaining. Jackie Dio, the Hilltoppers, Jimmy Sacca, born and raised right in Lockport, and went out and made it big and came back home. And give us a call, 433-1433, if you remember any of the music that we are talking about. We're ready to roll in the second half of the show, girls.
From 1963, was the Danny DiNardo Orchestra, and they played. They actually broadcast over this radio station, WUSJ, on Sunday evening, and their members of their band were DiNardo, who played the squeeze box, Jackie Deal again, he was on the sax, Joey Cleary, drummer, Ray Camara on the trumpet, and Roy Simons, or I think that's, yeah, Simons, like the Steel Company, on the bass. So if anybody remembers the Danny DiNardo band and hearing them on WSJ.
That's the original neat. Call letters, so yes. WLVO, when they changed them.
Okay. In 1969, the music teachers are really getting slim. We only have Evelyn Bayless, Dorothy Robertson, and Grace Tenbrook. So we've gone from probably 9 piano teachers to 3. So I don't know if it's losing popularity or just what it is. And the stores are still Barone's, Denton, Couture & Daniels, and Leo's Accordion Center. So you still have the stores, anyway. And in the early 70s, 1970, it hasn't changed at all. The same teachers and the same stores. So I'm just kind of looking to see. Oh, Hattie Harmony is back in 1971. So, gee, she was there in 1953, and she's back in 1971. She's at 129 Holly Street now. I'm glad to hear it. Somebody's got to remember her. I mean, that's such a perfect name for a music teacher.
Well, here's the history of Club 60. I don't know if anybody remembers Club 60. It was organized in 1959 by Ted and Marie Hadley. The first organizational meeting was held on October 15, 1958, and the first dance was held at the Old Park Hotel on New Year's Eve, 1958. It was attended by 118 members and 24 guests. The music was supplied by Mel Beck. The dances were generally held at Kenzie's from 1959 to 1981.
Wow.
So I don't know if the Club 60, I guess it wasn't a band, but it was a club that held dances. So if anybody remembers going to any of those dances, either at the Park Hotel or at Kenzie's.
Well, Ted, Hadley used to be on the board.
I would imagine that Kenzie's had a bowling alley downstairs, mm-hmm. and the dances were probably upstairs where it used to be, because it's no longer bowling alley, of course. They're renovating it now. I believe somebody's going to move in it, but that would be my call, because I used to bowl at Kenzie's every once in a while, and it was a real tough house. But there was a big upstairs, so I would imagine that's where the dancers were.
Yeah, well, over 100 people is a pretty good crowd, yes, for a small building. Cause
Club
building
60.
Was there.
Did you go to Club 60, or no. Did your parents ever talk about Club 60? 433-1433.
Yeah, we're always interested in learning more information. That's one of the things we're really trying to do. So
we are researching right now, folks.
Yep.
If you can.
Okay, so now in 1973, We have Cabbages has moved into town. I remember Cabbages. They were like a record store.
It's
and everything.
A record store, yes. Okay, yeah. We have a call coming in that's going to help us out.
Yay.
Good morning. You're on Niagara County's Great History Show. We're talking about music this morning. You are on.
How you doing?
Well.
Sounds like a great show.
Wow.
A lot of good history there. When did you say Barone started?
Oh, I didn't say, but it was there in the 50s.
Well, here's a little some add-ins to a lot of things you were saying. The T. Henley was Tom Hanley.
Oh, okay.
He was a trumpet player in the area, and he went on one of the little bits and pieces you kind of leaving out in the late 60s, early 70s. There was an Eagles marching band. And the Rockport Blazers also marched in the late 60s, and they kind of went together, and then it kind of fell apart. But then the Blazers came back in the late 70s and marched until the, like, 84, 85-ish, right in this area. And then Tom Henley was an instructor of both of them groups for trumpet. He was a big player. And then when you go back to Barone's, whenever they started,
I'm flipping through to see.
I got my first trombone there. I bought a couple drum sets from there. They were Barone's Music, and then they kind of got so big they went to Barone's Music House because they were selling stereos, TVs. They had everything. And a little thing that goes along with Barone's was they were in business for the longest time, and the Blazers took over the building right behind them on Locust Street.
Hmm.
Then the Blazers kind of disbanded, and then Barone's opened that back side of the building up, and then their store was huge. Their store was not only on Walnut, but also on Locust at that point.
Okay.
They closed up. Pet store took over for a while. And this is where it comes in, a little information. Another gentleman, local musician, Darnell Crenshaw, he died 2015. He opened a music store right there where Barone's was, late 80s, early 90s, and Tone Doctors was there.
I was just going to ask you, he was the Tone Doctor, right?
He was a Tone Doctor.
Yeah.
He was my boss for a long time.
Yeah.
That music, so that idea, Barone's was there. That whole corner was a music, hub.
Yeah.
Until he just passed away in 2015. The store kind of moved over on Main Street now, a little smaller, but all that time, that little corner shop was Barone's, and then it was Rockport Blazers took a long time in it, and then Tone Doctors took over on it. It was of all the music stores that have been in Rockport, Carl Vince's was on the other side of town for quite a bit of time. There was a handful of them that tried it over by the library. There was a couple music stores that tried, and in and out, and in and out, but Barone's lasted forever, because that was the D'Alessandro family were running it. I know the two brothers, and they kind of ran it a little bit after his father died. And then Darnell Crenshaw picked it up after that into his own idea. Forever, there was always a music store right there. Now we're kind of like, there ain't much going on, but that's another thing. You know, there was the drum corps were ridiculous around here.
Mm-hmm.
Late 70s, early 80s, just like you were saying, everybody wanted to play drums, and you just got into drum corps and played drums and horns, and everybody was really, there was a big musical thing going on. Late 60s, my dad marched, and then I picked it up in the late 70s, and there was a lot of music going on right there in that area.
I remember the time, late 50s, early 60s, that the Hawthorne Caballeros came to town, and they put an exhibition on at Emmett Belknap football field.
So, it's funny you mention that. The drums on the waterfront actually started from that.
Yep.
That was when they came around, Rockport Blazers, second time around, Junior Corps, I was in that.
Yep.
We marched with all the Phantom Regiment, the Blue Devils, all them groups. And we couldn't compete with them. They were too good. But they were like, where are you guys from? Buffalo, Niagara Falls area? we showed them MFL Net Field, and we did shows there with them huge cores. It was 79, 80s. We toured with them. That's a big thing. The Blazers, junior drum corps, late 70s, early 80s, we toured all the eastern coast of the United States. We went from Florida all the way to Montreal and back. You had to be, you'd be in the city of Lockport living as a kid. Everybody wanted to be in that corps.
Oh, neat. Well, that's really good. Yeah. I'm really glad you let us know about that.
I had the pleasure.
It all started right off that Emmett Belknap show once. They came into town and said, hey, this is cool.
Yep.
We'll do it a couple more times. The corps shut down. Next thing you know, it was drums on the waterfront.
My brother marched with the North Tonawanda band, and there was a competition in New York City, and in Albany, actually. And in 1961, the summer of 1961, I had the pleasure of marching with my brother with that band, and I saw my first DCI competition, but back then it wasn't DCI. That a little later, and I still have the album at home from 1959 with the competition in Albany, New York, and it was absolutely phenomenal. If I said Tommy Harry, you'd know who I was talking about.
Yeah, you know, one of the other things that was good with all that, see, I'm only got the history of the Blazers and stuff, but a lot of my friends were in the Starfires. A lot of my friends were in the Shawnee Drum Corps. We're all in this area. And, man, there was so much music going on. Again, when you go back to where would you go for a store? Yeah, it was only Barone's, really. That was the only one sitting there buying equipment. Everybody, my dad just recently, a couple of years ago, gave me all my receipts. I played trombone in the 70s, and he gave me all my receipts from Barone's. Huh? From Red My Horn, and I didn't know why he saved it, but I was like, wow, look at that.
Yeah.
That's neat. Okay, so I did look it up, and Barone's, it was James Barone, and the first time they're in the Lockport Directory is in 1938, and Charles Barone was listed in the 1920s as a teacher at the high school.
Yep.
So I don't know how James and Charles are related, but I'm sure that they are, and then later on... Pardon?
We had a lot of business downtown. There was no way to shut places down, you know, prior to the renovations back in the late 70s, you know, because there was so much going on, and them owners down there were there forever. They wanted to be there forever. It wasn't like in and out. Now we don't, you know, when you talk about music stores, I work out of town a little bit, giving lessons, and there's one in the city, you know.
Yeah. So.
Thank you very much for your call.
Yes,
brought back
thank
a
you.
Lot of memories, especially when the Blazers all shaved their head for the big competition. Remember that
one?
Oh,
my goodness.
Yeah.
We were a big core.
Yes.
We were Lockwood's pride at the time.
Absolutely. Thank
we
you very much.
So much stuff. It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Thank you for your call.
Bye-bye.
433-1433. Got the blood boiling now, folks. Give us a call. Talk about your experiences with music in Lockport, New York.
I know that Ken Boyd that volunteered for us, he was in that Shawnee marching band for, many years. Yeah. He was always proud of that and talking about it, and I think he gave us some photos, and so that was a big thing. You know, I didn't even think of that when we were talking about
absolutely
music. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I spent 3 hours one day, walked up from my house on Union and Chapel up to East Avenue watching a parade that was in Lockport. Back then, we had three-hour parades.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And bands. I mean, not fire trucks and all this stuff, mm-hmm. but bands. It was just phenomenal back in the late 50s.
Wow. That's neat. Okay.
Well, another band, again, this would have been in probably the 40s. This newspaper article isn't dated, but it's talking about 40 years ago, so it was probably from the 80s and talking about the 40s. Don Keller, Keller's Killers Band. I don't know if anybody remembers that.
I remember the name, yes.
And apparently they were mostly from the Newfane area, but they did play in Lockport. And the members of that band, well, obviously it was Don Keller who was the leader of the band. But there was Jimmy Cagles, was it it? Jimmy Feltham, Bud Fisher. Just reading all these different names. Roger Phillips, Jack Gow, Carol Toth, and Al Adi. So if anybody remembers that band playing, it doesn't, I'm trying to see here if it says, says they played in the Lockport area and also in Canada.
We are still waiting for somebody to call us and tell us about the Tic Tac Tones.
Yes,
that really, that really spun me. I thought that was very neat. So if your mom or grandma or if you yourself remember, give us a call. Let us know, 433-1433.
Yeah, there's a lot of things. Okay, so in 1973, that was when Cabbages and Leo's Accordion and Leon's Pianos and Organs, they're new now, they're on Market Street, and of course Barone's, were all in business. And it's still, Laverne Griffith is still the only person that's listed in the directories as a piano tuner. The music teachers in 1974 were Elizabeth Korff, Dorothy Robertson, and Margaret Wilhelm. If anybody took lessons from them, that would be nice to hear from them. As we're looking, 1976, so, Lois Gardell. Oh, I knew her daughter. She was doing piano lessons and music lessons at 411 High Street. And there was still Leo's Accordion Center, Dorothy Robertson, and now Francis Rogers. Is that the one that you had for a music teacher?
Probably, I would guess, yes.
For 481 Pine Street. So the music dealers now were down to just Cabbages and Barone's.
And then there's King Harvest. Most people should know who King Harvest is. And
a one-song wonder.
Yes.
I watched one of their last performances a year or two ago in Olcott, because they were from Olcott.
Right, yep.
And they rehearsed in the church across the street from where the little pagoda thing is now. And Paul Oates had one of the main players from the group on his show in the morning, and it was really, really something special. And when we saw that last performance, when they got together, the lead singer passed away the next year, so which was last year, I think, but time flies by with me now. So, but King Harvest, yes, was
I'm trying to think of what the name of the song was, but
it was Dancing in the Moonlight.
Dancing in the Moon. Everybody knows that song.
Yeah.
And his
knows
name
that,
was
Melissa.
Ron Altbeck?
Yeah. Dr. Altbeck's son.
Yes. Yes.
And it said that they rehearsed in the basement of the Methodist Church.
Yeah.
This was back in the 60s and 70s. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's, somebody must know them.
I would think so.
I would think so, too.
They were still playing right up to last year.
Yeah. So, by 1977, there was a new music teacher, Krista Seddon, S-E-D-D-O-N, and I know that they opened, she had a store briefly on Main Street here in Lockport, because I remember that she played the piano, and I think we hired her once for one of our programs, and she was very good, so... interesting, because it says music composers and arrangers, historical museum, 2 Pine Street. Well, I'll have to look and see what that was.
Did you come across a Peter Kolesnik, Melissa?
Yeah,
no, we had that earlier.
Oh, okay,
because
yes. there's a picture here of his band.
Yes.
Yep. In 1949. So.
Yep, and he had a store for a while.
Yeah, that's
too.
What it says. He had a store. And he also had a band. So, quite a few bands in Lockport back in, 40s, 50s, 60s.
Well, that was just the time that the big band area was waning down a little bit also. And a lot of the members started their own. I know in my early coaching career, I coached 2 kids whose mom... played with the Buffalo Philharmonic.
Oh, okay.
And we thought that was very neat, because that's a big Philharmonic band of Buffalo, and here one of my ball players' moms playing in the band.
Yeah.
And of course, Dad got in there every once in a while when they needed an extra horn.
Well, this is an interesting picture too. Sometimes I wish people could see this. It's a quintet, a woman's quintet. It looks like the 1920s from the dresses and the hairstyle, and it's the La Forest Orchestra. So it's like saxophone, drums, violin, piano, and
all female.
Wow. And I'm not sure what that is.
I think this is a bass sax, and this is a regular sax.
Okay. But that's kind of interesting, La Forest Orchestra.
Okay, in 1980, there was a K&M music store on Main Street. Anybody remember that one?
1433, if you remember what we are talking about today, the music from the past in Lockport, New York.
Yeah.
Some names that were familiar, and of course, the gentleman called about the drum corps, that was right up my alley.
Yep.
And I'm sure that we still have drum corps enthusiasts in Lockport, as they still have DCI with the big competition, and it's drums along the waterfront in Buffalo.
Ah, the music teachers are starting to change.
Okay, well, let's change and take this phone call.
Oh, good.
Good morning. You're on Niagara County's Great History Show. You are on.
Good morning. I wasn't going to call, but I had a couple of questions. You were touching on different stores that sold music.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the 40s, my grandfather had formed a street marching band for Burkholz Fire Company, which traveled around quite a bit. And he was a big fan of John Philip Sousa.
Ah, yes.
And he wanted to do or emulate the songs that Mr. Sousa had. And he did not have all the sets, I call them sets, for the individuals in the band, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he found some store in Lockport that dealt in sheet music. I guess one of their big fortes was music forms for bands.
That's got to be Barone's.
You think so?
Yeah, I do.
Well, because I remember he tagged me to go along with the old feed mill Dodge truck to help him load something. And he bought the whole lot. I mean, he just went bananas like I used to with trains and stuff. And we come back with a goodly load of things, and he sorted it eventually. And, there was bits and pieces that he didn't need. Now, we used to get the Buffalo News, or he did, and one day, lo and behold, there was someone, 20th Century Fox, looking for sheet music to make the movie Stars and Stripes Forever, which was based on the life of John Philip Sousa. Well, to make the long story short, Grandpa responded, and, they sent someone out from their Buffalo office, which was probably 505 Pearl Street, where all the theater music people sort of had agents. And my question is, you think it was Barone's then? It would have been. The name Barone, I don't know. I had relations with Barone's in the area. There was a foreman at Harrison and a teacher at Wheatfield. And Joe Cleary, by the way, I worked with Joe Cleary for a number of years at Harrison and saw his bands. And he, when I got married, I tagged him to put a band together, and he did, and very economically, let's say. And they did a good job. Joe was a good friend and a lot of fun, and a lot of people at Harrison knew Joe, and of course through USJ and whatever else, but very accomplished person. And then there was another person that was my neighbor that was Harold Mall, that played both with Burkholz and the Tonawanda Legion Band. He's one that's still alive. And
Okay, I have another call coming in, sir. I'm going to have to cut you off because I only have a couple minutes left. Good morning. You're on Niagara County's Great History Show. You have about a minute and a half. You are on.
Yeah, I just started listening. Did anybody mention Frank Lawrence?
Not yet. I remember Frank.
Yeah, I used to work with him. He had quite a band, too. He played at my first wedding.
Yep. I do remember him. That was a great one. For the gentleman that was just talking, the other store in 1947 that would have had sheet music was Steffens Music Store. Kolosnik does not advertise sheet music, but the Steffens store does beside Barone's.
Okay, let's recap what's happening at the Music Center. See, you got me all cranked up here. At the History Center next month. We are just about out of time, Alyssa. Okay. Got about a minute and a half.
Anne-Marie has a program.
Okay, Martin Luther King Day, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. for children 7 through 12. It's $10. You do need reservations, 434-7433.
Say the day.
January 20th. Sorry.
Okay. And on January 23rd, I'm doing a program on movie and TV trivia at 2 o'clock at the museum, 215 Niagara Street. That doesn't require reservations. You could just come. And on February 8th, we are having our Soup and Story. We are having Susan Eck is speaking about women's suffrage. It's the 100th anniversary. And we have a nice lunch. It's by donation. And it's a limited to the first 50 people. So 434-7433.
I would like to say that all of you folks that like to call in, let's call in before the last minute because we have to cut you off. We have to get all our calls in. And we'll be back next month, the second Wednesday of the month. You have been listening to high school. You have been listening to Niagara County's Great History Show on 1340 AM and 105.3 FM.
Bill O'Reilly here. Please stay tuned for the O'Reilly Update coming up at 12:15 as part of the Niagara Noon News Hour right here on WLVL Lockport.
The National Anthem at noon on Hometown 1340 AM and 105.3 FM WLVL.